Hey guys, it's Caitlin Phillips here, back for another episode of Deal or No Deal. Today, I take you to my actual email inbox to look at potential deals from wholesalers, and we pick one of them to analyze and decide if it's a deal or no deal and what we will do with it after we make that determination.
My name is Bill Allen, and I'm the leader of a group of elite house flippers and wholesalers called Seven Figure Flipping. We don't brag or show off our success, but instead let integrity and stewardship be our guide. We are dedicated to helping people unlock the freedom they desperately need. If you ask other real estate investors, they will say to keep your secrets quiet. But we believe in abundance, not scarcity, and that's why we are the elite. We are Seven Figure Flipping, and this podcast is our playbook.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. I am Caitlin Phillips from Seven Figure Flipping, and I want to talk to you about deal or no deal. I did a previous episode of Deal or No Deal, so if you want to learn a little bit more about me and my background, you can go ahead and go back to that episode. But today I want to take you through exactly what I do to analyze a deal from a wholesaler. I'm going to take you through the 8 steps that I do when I get a wholesale lead. So for those of you who may be watching the video of this recording, I'm going to share my screen with you so you can see what I'm looking at. If you're listening to this on the podcast, I'll make sure that I talk through what I'm doing so you're able to understand what's going on, even if you're not looking at the screen. So I'm going to open up my email, first of all, and I see this morning I have 4 emails from wholesalers. So 4 potential deals here. So my very first step is to determine if a lead fits my buy box. If you are unfamiliar with a buy box, it's basically the criteria of what you're looking for to buy. So my buy box includes houses in 2 counties, Weber County and Davis County. I will purchase things that have an after repair value up to $500,000, and I want something that is a single family home. So that is what my buy box is. Every investor has their own unique buy box for what they want to focus on and what they buy. So I'm going to look at these 4 emails I have. The very first one in the subject line, it says that it is a rental in Idaho Falls. Idaho Falls is not in my buy box. So immediately I'm just going to delete that email. This was a huge breakthrough for me when I gave myself permission to delete leads that didn't fit in my buy box, because I started to feel a little bit overwhelmed with the number of leads that I had coming in and what I had to analyze. And it was good to get the practice of analyzing, but it was really helpful when I gave myself permission to just delete those that didn't fit my buy box so that I could focus my attention on the ones that did. So I would encourage you all, if you haven't defined your buy box yet, do it and delete the leads that don't fit in your buy box. Don't feel like you have to have a perfect buy box that you're going to be committed to for the rest of your life. Your buy box can change and be adjusted as you grow, as your business grows. Mine has definitely changed and adjusted. So now let's look at another email. I see 2 that have the word Ogden in their subject line. Ogden is in my buy box, so those ones look pretty good. This 3rd one, I can't see in the subject line where it's located, so I'm going to click on it, and I'm going to scroll down to the address, and it says that it's in Tooele, Utah, which is outside my buy box as well. So I'm just going to delete that email. Now I'm down to 2 to analyze. Today I'm going to analyze one of them with you. So let's pick this one that's titled Ogden Fix and Flip. And I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to kind of browse through the email to make sure that it still fits my buy box, because I have some other requirements other than location. So here I can see that they have an assignable contract. This wholesaler is going to assign this. They have the address. It's on 8th Street in Ogden. They gave me the parcel number. I'm also seeing the closing date. They want to close on April 26th. The day I'm recording this is April 18th. So they want to close next week. And then they give me some stats on the house. It's a 4-bed, 2-bath, 2,829 square feet, 0.23 acres. It was built in 1917. Some rehabbers would see this built year and they would decide it's not in their buy box because they don't, their buy box might be confined to certain year builds. Some people don't like to work on older homes because that means they have older plumbing and older wiring potentially, and they just don't want to deal with that. For me, I'm okay with things built in 1917. I've flipped them in the past. I feel okay with rewiring a house if I need to, or redoing plumbing if I need to. So I'm still going to go for this one. They have shared their purchase agreement with me, which we'll take a closer look at later. They give me the price that they're asking. It's just under $250,000. They have some contact information. We'll look a little bit closer at that stuff a little later. But for step one, we just wanted to make sure that this lead fits our buy box, and it does. So if it didn't, we're going to throw it out and move on to the next lead. But since it does, we're going to move on to step two. And step two is that I'm going to look for the walkthrough date and the walkthrough time, and I want to get it put on my calendar. Now, at first, I didn't do this. I didn't look for the walkthrough time this early in the process, but I found that a lot of wholesalers don't share that information up front. They want you to have to reach out to them to ask for that information. And so I want to get that ball rolling now, so I give them an opportunity to respond to me while I'm doing some other analyzing. So this email does not share when the walkthrough is, but it does have some contact information given if you have any questions. So it says that I can text or call Chelsea. So I'm going to send her a text and say, "Hey, Chelsea, I am interested in the property on 8th Street in Ogden, Utah. Can you tell me when the walkthrough is?" Send. And then she has some time to respond to me. While I'm waiting for her response, I'm going to continue on with analyzing this deal. So step three is that I'm going to gather and confirm the stats. So I see that they've shared with me that it's 4-bed, 2-bath, 2,829 square feet, 0.23 acres, and built in 1917. That's the extent of the stats that they gave me. I'll probably want to gather a few more. But the first place I'm going to go is to the tax records. So I happen to have access to the MLS in Utah. So I'm going to go to the MLS to look at the tax records. Prior to having access to the MLS, I would just go to the tax assessor's website for the county that the property's in, and I can find that information there as well. So you could go either route depending on what you have access to. If you need to find the tax assessor's website, I would recommend that you just go to Google and do a search for tax assessor in whatever county. In this case, it's Weber County. So tax assessor, Weber County. And you can usually find it through that. So I don't need to look really closely at all of this information, but I am going to look for a few key details and see if they match what the wholesaler gave me. So one thing I notice here is that it gives me the lot size, and the lot size is 0.23 acres, which agrees with the wholesaler. The year built's 1917, so that's good. It agrees. Bedrooms and bathrooms won't always be shown on the records, but this particular records do have them. It says 4 bedrooms, 2.75 bathrooms. So the bedroom number agrees, the bathroom number doesn't. I don't put a whole lot of stock into what the tax records say about bedrooms and bathrooms because it's common for them to be incorrect. But I am going to take note that I want to check on the number of bathrooms when I go to visit this house and just make sure, is it 2 or is it 2.75? And for those of you who are wondering how you get a 0.75 bathroom, the way they use the numbering for bathrooms is the number 1 is for a full bathroom. So a full bathroom, we'll have a sink, a toilet, a tub, and a shower. Usually it's like a tub shower combo, but it doesn't have to be. A 3/4 bathroom or 0.75 has one of those things missing. So it will have a sink, a toilet, and then a tub or shower, typically a shower. And then you could have a half bathroom, which just has a sink and a toilet. And so that would be 0.5. So that's what those decimal numbers mean with bathrooms. So next I'm going to look at the square footage. These tax records show that the square footage is 1,560 square feet. But if I look back at the email from the wholesaler, they said that the house was just under 3,000 square feet. So we have a discrepancy there. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into why. And I look here and see, oh, it's because the basement is another 1,269 square feet. So if I add together the building area plus the basement area, I get the number that the wholesaler gave me. And in my market, it is common to count the basement area with the top floor area as the total square footage. So that's pretty normal for me. So I'm going to say, okay, I trust the wholesaler's numbers here, but I am going to verify it because I know in this particular city that a lot of the basements have low ceiling heights or not finished. They might not really be livable. So I just want to double check that this basement really is livable or that I can make it livable on a reasonable budget. So I'll make sure I check that bathroom and check the basement and the square footage and make sure we're good there. So that looks pretty good. Another place I can go to check the stats is on previous listings of the house. And this one had been listed before. So I look back, the last time it was listed was in 2009, but I can just kind of see what they listed it for. On that listing, they put it at 3,100 square feet. So that's interesting that they listed it for more square footage. So just another thing to note, like I can double check that. But I do see that they have some bedrooms in the basement and a bathroom in the basement. So it's partially finished. It says that the basement's 35% finished. So I'm just getting to know this property as best I can through the internet right now without actually physically going to see it. I can look at the old pictures from the previous listing. These are really old though, so I'm not going to put a lot of stock in them because it was back in 2009 and right now we're in 2024. But here's what the pictures look like. It's definitely been updated since it was built. So I'll want to check maybe if there's some like wiring exposed or plumbing exposed when I'm in the house just to see if they look like they have been updated. So it definitely in 2009 could use some more updating, but it doesn't look like it's from 1917 anymore. So those are some good things to note. Okay, so I've gathered some stats. I've confirmed some stats. I have some notes to myself of what stats I need to double check. And now what I do is I make sure that I record all of this information in my spreadsheet. It could be a piece of paper. It could be like a CRM, if you have some sort of CRM. I use a Google spreadsheet. So I make sure that I get all of this information recorded there. So I put in the street address. I put in the number of beds, baths, the square footage, the year built, the lot size. It doesn't look like it has a garage. So I put in zero. I got the house style and I got the asking price for the wholesaler. So now I'm ready to do step four of the process. I'm going to calculate the ARV for this property. And this is one of the most important steps to do because all of our other numbers are going to rely on this number. And if I have the ARV wrong, I get kind of a domino effect here with numbers being wrong. So now that I have the correct data that I can run an ARV, I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to go through the process of calculating the ARV with you today. We can talk about that in another episode. But if you need to find an ARV, reach out to a local real estate agent and ask them to help you find out what the after repair value of this property is. If you were to purchase this house and fix it up and ask them to represent you and list the property for sale, what would they recommend that you list it for so that it goes under contract in 30 or less days? That's the way that you could word it with that real estate agent. And that real estate agent is going to go look at some data to find out what the after repair value for this house is, and they'll share it with you. And you can review over the data with them to see if you agree with it or if you think that they were too optimistic or not optimistic enough, because these after repair values are subjective. So you want to make sure that you take a look at it as well, and you can learn from them. So for this particular property in Ogden, Utah, we're saying that the ARV is $360. So I believe that after I fix up this house, make sure that the basement is finished, because the comps had finished basements. I'm going to make sure the basement's finished, the upstairs is finished, it's all updated. I think I can sell it for $360,000. So now that I have that number, I can continue on. So step five here is that I need to consider any other pertinent information that was shared by the wholesaler. So these are going to be things like, what is the closing date? What is the possession date? Sometimes they are not the same thing. So I need to know, do I get possession of the house the same time I buy the house, or is it going to be at a later time? I need to consider who's paying the seller's closing costs. It's very common with a wholesale deal that the buyer pays their closing costs and the seller's closing costs. So I just want to make sure that I'm aware if I'm responsible for that so that I can calculate it in my numbers. And I want to know how much that this wholesaler wants for earnest money. In my market, $5,000 is pretty normal. So that's usually what I expect to pay in earnest money. And then I want to look at the pictures and get an idea of what kind of condition this property is in. So let's go back to the wholesaler email and see if we can find any of that additional information. So I know that they want to close on April 26th. So I know this is coming up in 8 days from now. So I'm going to kind of check myself and say, am I going to be able to have my money ready and to purchase it on or before that date? Yes, I know my lender can come through that quickly, or maybe I need to have a conversation with him. But I feel good with that closing date. We can do that. And then as I scroll down, I see that they've given me a copy of their purchase agreement. So their contract that they have between themselves, the wholesalers, and the sellers. So I can take a look at that and see what I'm agreeing to. Now, this particular purchase contract that they've shared with me is a redacted contract, which means that they have taken out or blacked out some information that they don't want to share with me, which is totally normal. So they took out things like the seller's name and the date they went into the contract and what they're under contract for. But what I want to look for is things like, what's the earnest money? When am I closing? I see that's April 26th. I also see, let me scroll through this. Still see the settlement date is April 26th. So that's good. Somewhere in here, I saw possession of the property. So let's see when the possession is. We have the settlement, April 26th. Settlement is when we're going to sign the paperwork that we're actually selling and buying the property. Oh, and here we have possession takes place on April 26th. So it looks like the possession and the closing and the settlement take place on the same day. So that's good. I'm not going to have to like wait for them to move out or anything. If I did, I would want to consider that in some of my costs. And I don't see anything else out of the norm in this contract. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable with it. I could read through it line per line, but I've read these contracts before, so I don't need to go through that right now. Okay, so I feel pretty good about the other information. Now it's time for me to estimate the repair costs. Now, I would say it's very common for a wholesaler to share pictures with you, sometimes even video of the property, so you can get an idea of its condition before you visit it in person. This particular wholesaler does not share pictures or videos with me. You can see in the email, there's no link to any pictures or videos. That's just the way that they choose to do business. So at this point in time, I'm going to kind of have to make a guess about about its condition, because I just don't have anything to go off of until I go see the house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, let's assume it just needs a light rehab. I know from my past experience and from experience of other rehabbers in my area that $20 per square foot is a pretty good number to go by for a light rehab. So in my spreadsheet, I have it set up so I can put in repairs per square foot. I put $20 per square foot for repairs, and that tells me, based on the square footage I put in, I'm gonna spend about $56,000 on the rehab, if that's true. So I'm going to go ahead and put that in. In my head, I'm thinking, if I have to finish a basement, though, it's probably going to be higher than that. So this is kind of like best case scenario for me. I want to make sure that, so now that I have my repair costs figured out, keeping in mind that this is a very rough estimate, and I'm going to have to come back and refine it after I see the house. Now I'm going to move on to my step seven. Step seven is to determine my MAO, or my maximum allowable offer. So to figure out my maximum allowable offer, I have to have my ARV. That's what it starts with, because from my ARV, I'm going to subtract three things. From ARV, I'm going to subtract my cost to do the deal. That includes the cost to purchase it, the cost to own it, the cost to sell it. And I'm also going to have my repair costs that I'm going to subtract from the ARV. And I will subtract how much money I want to make, my profit. So for this particular deal, I'm going to say I want to make 10% profit. So the 10% of the ARV is what I want for my profit. Dollar amount, that's going to be $36,000. I'm going to assume it's going to cost about 15% of the ARV to do the deal. Okay, so like I said, this is going to include my cost to purchase the property. So what am I paying in closing costs to my title company? What am I paying to my money lender to borrow the money? It's going to include the cost of owning the house. What am I going to pay in insurance? What am I going to pay in taxes and utilities? And what am I going to pay in interest on that money that I'm borrowing? And then it covers my costs to close on the house. So what am I going to pay my title company when it's time to close? And what am I going to pay my agents that I have helped me sell the house? Okay, so that's where that 15% comes in. That's going to come out to about $54,000 that I'm expecting to pay just to do the deal. So I take my ARV, $360,000, subtract my profit, $36,000, subtract my rehab, just over $56,000, subtract my cost to do the deal, $54,000. And that comes up with my maximum allowable offer, which is $213,000 here. Okay, so I finished step seven, which was to determine my max allowable offer. And I'm remembering with this max allowable offer that this is assuming this house only needs a light rehab. So when I go to see it, it might need more rehab costs. And then I'm going to have to adjust that MAO, and it will likely come a little bit lower. But this is just going to give me an idea of what I want to do next. So my eighth thing that I do is take action. And depending on what my calendar looks like, what my maximum allowable offer looks like, and what their asking price looks like is going to determine what action I take. So in this case, let's say I heard back from Chelsea and she told me when the walkthrough was, and it conflicts with a prior commitment that I had. Okay. If my max allowable offer were higher than they were asking and I felt really confident in my numbers, maybe I would try to rearrange my prior commitment so I could go see this house in person. Or maybe I would arrange for somebody else to go see the house on my behalf. In this case, when I find out that the walkthrough is at a time that conflicts with another commitment and I see they're asking $250,000 and on the optimistic side, the most I can pay is $213,000. I'm not going to try to rearrange my schedule for that. But what I will do is I'll text Chelsea back and I'll say, hey, Chelsea, I have a conflict with that walkthrough time, but I am thinking if this house needs about $56,000 of repairs, I would love to purchase it at $210,000 or $213,000. I usually give them my max allowable offer because you don't really negotiate with wholesalers. And then she has the opportunity to give me feedback. Like she might say, oh, we already have offers higher than that, or yeah, we would consider that. So it kind of lets me know how much more to push it and pursue it. It also lets her know that I'm interested and at what price I'm interested. So in the case that I have a conflict, I'm not going to go walk this house in person. Now, let's say I didn't have a conflict. Maybe I choose to go walk it in person and see if the rehab cost really is what I was anticipating and it's good practice for me. Then I can do that and see. Maybe I show up and I think, oh, $20 per square foot is not enough. This is going to be more like a $35 per square foot house. Then I'm going to adjust my rehab costs. So now they're up to $99,000. And then I'm going to say, okay, the most I can offer on this house is $170,000. If that's the case, I've done my due diligence with that wholesaler. I've walked through the house. I've confirmed my rehab costs. I feel good about my numbers. I am going to make that offer to Chelsea. I'm going to say, Chelsea, I would be happy to purchase this house for $170,000. And I can close on April 26th or as early as April 24th, if I could do that, you know, I'll let her know. And then she has the offer. She has that feedback from me. She can choose to accept my offer if she wants, or she can let me know that she doesn't want to accept it. Either way is fine with me. So hopefully that was helpful for you to see how I go about analyzing wholesale deals that I have in my inbox. So let me just go again over my 8 steps that I do. First, I determine if the lead fits my buy box. Second, I look for the walkthrough date and time and reach out to ask for it if I don't already have that information. Third, I gather the stats and confirm the stats so that I know I have the right data when I get to running my ARV. Fourth, I calculate the ARV on the property. So this could be something that I pull in a partner or a real estate agent to help me with if I don't have the skills or the resources to do it myself. Five, I consider any other information that the wholesaler has shared with me that I need to know, such as like, when's the closing date? When's the possession date? Am I paying seller closing costs? What's the condition of the property? What pictures do I have? Anything that's going to affect what I'm going to offer on this property or if I can feasibly do it. Number six, I'm going to roughly estimate the repair costs. If I have pictures or videos, I'm going to use that to help me roughly estimate them. Number seven, I'm going to determine my MAO, my max allowable offer. What is the very most that I can pay for this property? And then number eight is I'm going to take action. In a lot of cases, that means I'm going to show up to that walkthrough. And I'm going to do my due diligence there. I'm going to see with my own eyes what kind of condition the property is in and confirm that my rehab costs are correct or correct my rehab costs if they're not correct. Or maybe it looks like I send an email to the wholesaler and give them a soft offer. Something like, if the rehab costs are around $55,000, then I would be happy to pay $213,000. So hopefully that helps you. It was great to be here with you today. I hope you guys have a wonderful day and please go out and make some offers.